This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and today I'm delighted to be joined again by Superintendent Oski. Hello, Charles. Nice to see you.
Great to be here.
And this is also going to be the first of our Student Ask sessions, which we're picking up again from the last school year. So I'd like to welcome you, students, and maybe we could just go around the table quickly and you can introduce yourself. Gio,
yes.
You are?
I'm Gio Montricelli, and I'm a junior here at BHS.
I'm Ava Duarte, and I'm also a junior here at BHS.
I'm Jeremiah Hawley, and I'm a senior here at BHS.
I'm Emma Perringer, and I'm a senior here at BHS.
I'm Maddie Ann Ludwig, and I'm also a senior here.
I'm Cora Turner, and I'm also a senior at BHS.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming together and talking to 307 Net Radio. I think it's worth saying that you guys are all representatives of the student body, and you have some questions to ask Mr. Oski. But before we get going with your questions, Mr. Oski, we're at the very beginning of the 2023-24 school year, and as superintendent, you are the leader of our school district. What are the goals for the school district for this year?
You know, well, there's several things, but the main one is still continuing the journey of improving culture, focusing on kids and staff and the safety of it. But like what we did this summer, we did a lot of work with professional learning communities, making sure. But if we come back to that key focus is the Johnson County School District number one. I know these individuals here weren't a part of our kickoff with staff, but it's about culture. It's about doing what's best for kids. So it's creating that environment that's not only safe and good for kids, but safe for staff.
So you describe, you mentioned culture. What does that really mean in terms of what you are hoping to come from and to?
Well, this is a great example of what culture is. It's that transparency, being willing to come to the table and answer questions, but having a systems, not only systems, but just a way we do things for generations to come. We talk about, we have seniors sitting here at the table. So what mark are they going to leave for generations to come? What examples are they setting? I mean, not the mark of hopefully, hey, this is the prank we pulled, but what goals, what things did they establish, cultural things or belief systems that will be continued on? I mean, that's part of the culture system that we want. And I know people don't see this, but I'm going to take a lot of things back to athletics and all the years in athletics and coaching. The Johnson County School District number one is a belief system that we are the best. Not because of student scores, but because of a culture that we believe in. We take care of our kids. It's our community. That's what's beautiful about Johnson County. Pretty much I've been here all my life. And there's a culture and there's a community that's good for kids. And we want people to recognize that. Well, they're going to recognize that just by these kids here and what they say when they go out and they touch other lives and have conversations, the same with parents. And staff member. But that culture piece is, as everybody knows, we're in a financial crunch. So it's not about necessarily where you go to make the most. We want people to come to a place where they feel respected. It's a system about what's best for kids. We all have that same professional belief system on what we do, but we live in a community that really has a strong background in culture. Even coming from a Basco who has that Basque heritage, there's just a very strong culture in Buffalo and Johnson County that you don't see in most places, and we need to encapsulate that into Johnson County School District number one.
So you're describing more than just academic scores and success.
Absolutely.
It's a much broader influence that
yes.
that you want to bring. Thank you. And I'm sure that as we go on throughout the year, we will be talking more and more about financial struggles and how they are coming into play. But let's set that aside for a moment. Maddie, would you like to ask your first question of Mr. Oski?
So it kind of does have to do with money.
So that's a yes or no question?
Kind of. Okay. So it seems like there's a lot of new teachers this year. Has there been turnover in staff recently?
Yeah, there has been. So the reality is let's create rumor and put it into fact. So we have over 30-plus new employees. That doesn't mean we have 30 brand-new employees, but we've had a transition and a shift this year in a lot of people. So with that, that comes back to what I started 2 years ago with Dr. Miller is – and the admin team is really a new teacher induction program, and then what that looks like over 3 years to support them. So we have had a turnover, but turnover shouldn't be a fearful thing. The reality is we embrace it, we move forward, and we're providing the training and the support. And some of it's just not about the training, it's the support. When the national average of teachers, and it's an old average, over 50% of new teachers get out of the business after 3 years. We want to mitigate that piece, and we want to really make sure they're supported. And a lot of that has to do with the stress levels, but the support system that's in place for new teachers. That's been a great example of that is a new national statistic with referees. It's the same thing. It's a community thing. But you had over 50,000 referees in the last 4 years that have left the profession. Over 80% of them in the last 2 years have new referees have left the profession due to the stress levels involved. In Wyoming alone, just for fall sports, we're 54 referees down. Well, that's kind of like a canary in the coal mine in the caves. It's the same thing in public education. There's just a lot of stresses that go along with that. So if we can find a way to support teachers and the community can be involved in that and support them with kids, I think we'll be successful. But the implementation of the new program, which was last year, we didn't hit the mark right where we needed to. So we took input. We revamped it this year. I think what we're seeing here at Buffalo High School with some of the culture changes there and how we're trying to support teachers even throughout the other schools at this point is successful, but it'll continue to grow.
So I really think that it's important that we support newer teachers, but the teachers we see leaving aren't new ones. Is there like a definable cause to this?
New teachers that are old teachers or veteran teachers are leaving for several reasons, but some of it's finance, but some of it is education. If you look at the research, and it shows that due to the pressures and the stress levels that are being brought to teachers, they're leaving the profession to find different careers. Right now, the stats say that 60% of teachers in the teaching field that could find another career would due to stress levels. Stress levels are high.
So you mentioned 30 new teachers. Is that all sort of all repositioned?
So that's the shifting and repositioning.
Is that people. How does that compare to other school districts in Wyoming?
Very similar. Districts around the state are struggling with hiring of teachers. There are some districts that can't fill all positions and have actually started the school year with either out a teacher or a full-time sub. That's some of the surveys that are going around right now among superintendents to look at that. Sub pools have drastically been reduced by hiring them. And I think I had this conversation last year with the group, but there's some new people here, is when I got into the field of administration, when you had an applicant for a job, and my understanding is the same thing in Buffalo, you'd have 30 applications for one position. Okay, now we're lucky if we get three, okay, or we're fortunate if we get one. So just the field out there, and a lot of that comes back to a belief system. Now I'm rambling, and I will excuse you from your next class, so we're getting into some things.
No, yeah.
But the reality, it starts with that perception of the question you just asked. Why are teachers getting out? Is the same reason why teachers or people aren't going into the business is because of the stress level. And when we hear it, the best recruiters for kids going into this field is when teachers say, hey, I love my job. Hey, this is a great profession. These are some of the things we're doing. But you all pick up on it just as well as everybody else when the stress is high and the accountability is high and all that stuff. And this is where Charles makes the point. Accountability is not because Mr. Oski's in the superintendent position. That's what society's created in an expectation of what school should be performing. And that trickles down and falls on your guys' plate, all that stress level that comes. So it's kind of a trickle-down effect with that. But the reality of why we see a difference, a lot of it has to do with maybe in some cases the teaching profession is not as respected as it used to be, but it's also not something that a lot of people are saying you should go into this career, and colleges aren't seeing kids go into it. You know, it's just University of Wyoming. produces maybe 1/8 of the teachers that we need in the state of Wyoming that graduate. So,
yeah. So talking about that like trickle down effect almost of like stress like coming down to the students. How like what are some steps being taken to help like immerse teachers in like the BHS like to like a part of their jobs, like kind of bring them into BHS and like to set them up for success? Like what have we been doing? What information have we been giving them like coming into their jobs so when we get to the first day of school, they're ready to teach a class full of kids and they don't have to help explain or like show them what we've done in the past?
So that's what the new teacher induction program intention was to do. But like I explained to you just a few minutes ago, last year, We came back and reevaluated. There's some things that we missed because every system's different. It's not just BHS. It's how the district operates in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do you take days off? Who do you contact for this? What are you doing in your classroom? How do you manage this? And then you come into what you're talking about. Each building is different, right?
Yeah.
So when you have a new teacher induction program, we can do the district level stuff, but then this year we gave more time to the building principals to take those teachers that are related to that culture in that
mm-hmm.
building to get them established. So that's one of the things we grow with this year, and hopefully that will get better with time.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. But, like, I was just going to bring up, so we have, as you know, two new music teachers in our building this year and just up to our district. And they've done really well so far, but they've been kind of struggling through not having the full knowledge of things that we've done in the past, or like kind of having an idea of like what events we need to plan and things like that. How can we, as either students or like staff or students here at BHS, help them get the knowledge they need to have our classroom and our just music program perform at our highest level?
So again, that would be something you as leaders, and I'm going to reference you as leaders right now
mm-hmm.
because that's what I believe you are. That's something that you would start as a leadership team and having a conversation with building leadership about. These are some things, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But good student leaders also come up to the new teachers and say, hey, as a student leader, this is what we've always done,
mm-hmm.
all right? This is our culture. This is our program. These are some things, but in a way that we're open to change. But you're absolutely right. And Gio, I don't think we can honestly prepare. There's no such thing as a perfect plan to
yeah,
know everybody's
sure.
culture piece
yeah.
of what it is, because when you talk a new culture, I'll talk as the vocational teachers. We have new vocational teachers out there. Their culture and their piece is going to be a separate training of what that
sure.
is. However, we do have to balance. Not only are the teachers in coming in and learning your cultures or your classroom,
mm-hmm.
they're learning an entire new district.
System,
and in
yeah.
some cases, they're learning the profession. No matter what we do in education to train teachers, the first day of school, I'm just being as transparent, and that's what Charles does. What you get trained to do in college is not the real world when you get here, and you're going to find that out when you graduate from college. How they trained you and what you're expected to do when you get a job could be they're going to retrain you. I mean, let's just be honest. They might retrain you.
Yeah.
You have the knowledge to do it, but you take everything that you and I just talked about, and you is this wide,
mm-hmm.
and their ability to learn and resource is this big.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about drinking by a fire hose, sometimes
yeah.
we're not drinking by a fire hose. We're drinking by, 20,000 gallon tanks of water that just got poured on you. So we got to balance that. And so that's why that comes down to putting people in place to support them, having good leaders like you in a school that come in and say, hey, we understand there's going to be mistakes. Hey, these are the cultures that we used to do, and have those conversations, and you will see them be successful. But when I talk about culture, when you have a building, no matter whether kids are new or whether teachers are new, the kids understand the culture, and they're going to grow somebody new. They're going to say, hey, this is what we believe here,
mm-hmm.
and support them until they get there.
Yeah.
Then that's the culture that Charles is talking about. Okay, I'm also talking about traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Buffalo High School has a tradition that no other high school has, right? It can be similar across the board, but when you talk about tradition and school spirit, I would challenge you to go look at what other schools do for school spirit, because ours is pretty amazing compared to most. I've been to a 4A school basketball game, and there was 10 people in the stands. Okay, what do we do here? We fill the stands, right? So there's difference in cultures and beliefs.
So students, are any of you thinking about teaching your juniors and seniors, or any of you got that maybe as a possible profession that you might be interested in?
Slightly. I think I could definitely go down like the route of music education and stuff like that, but it really just depends. I've been like throughout this year just kind of been through the learning experience of having to help our new teachers and stuff, and I'm kind of getting a glimpse of like what the profession might be like, so I'm interested, but there's nothing for sure.
That
no
was
one
part
else?
Of the agreement.
Yeah. No one else who's interested in teaching? What do you notice about your teachers? Now you've been in the high school for at least 2, maybe 3 years. What do you notice about how you feel your teachers are stressed? What do you think the stresses and strains are on them?
I truly think some of the biggest stress factors come from kids itself. Like, obviously you're teaching the kids, but just being not able to always meet all the needs that all the kids need. And I think that's just kind of a big stressor, and not always being able to help everyone, I guess.
I think what I've seen is, like, And I think it may be with, like, not having enough teachers, but teachers teaching more than one subject, I feel like, is definitely, like, stressing teachers out. And I have, like, classmates that are having, like, the teacher hasn't taught a subject in 20 years, so it's hard for them to, you know, relearn how to teach it, I guess.
Well, I suppose if we would just sort of take a little bit more of a bird's eye view, you would expect Wyoming to be quite an attractive place to be a teacher. I mean, we're not teaching in, let's say, inner city Detroit or Chicago or somewhere like that. You might think that Wyoming would have less trouble attracting teachers, but Charles, you're shaking your head.
No, we're competing with a younger generation. I love this community, but it doesn't have the resources that some young people like, you know, the big city life, some of that. So we're attracting the people that might not, that like rural Wyoming. I love it. However, there's a neighboring state that just raised salaries almost $10,000 more than what our state pays us for our base salary. So that competition, and I'll speak as a young teacher, you know what? When you come out of college and you're starving, you're not really looking at where you want to land for the rest of your life. You're looking for, hey, this is where that dollar is. So how do we compete with some of those things? And the reason why we're having to compete with them is because the other states are in the same boat. The teachers are not there. And there's a national trend right now that shows that within the next 3 to 5 years, there's going to be even more of a shortage because there's a lot of people that are towards the end of their retirement career and they can officially retire. So the more we can recruit and talk, and so if they want to be a music teacher, that's exciting. But coming back to your plate, we're also experiencing now where we require more out of teachers to teach more than one subject area, all right? What does that look like? How do you meet those needs? So being versed in that to be able to teach more than one skill set. And it's an adventure, it's an opportunity, but these are real challenges, and I think they're great questions. So
just raising salaries, throwing money at it, to use a colloquialism, may be a part of a solution, but it's by no means all of the solution.
In my personal opinion, it's a short-term fix. It still comes back to culture and getting people to... People will work. The evidence shows, research shows, that people love where they work. It's not about the money. It's about being respected, and they love where they work, and they're supported by their community. So there's a lot of research that shows that, very effective companies might not be the highest paying companies, but they have the culture where people like to work, and there's more of a benefit to that, and you'll see that in some of the surveys. It's not about the money, it's about the respect and feeling like what they're done is appreciated, not only by the school district itself, but within the community.
Do you think, like, a lot of these factors with the teachers also play into, like, the current economic factors, like, consider the housing market, it being super high right now?
Absolutely it does.
And I'm sure we will come back and talk about housing and the challenges of housing.
These are all challenges that Mr. Oski deals with every day when they say, and if I had the magic wand, I could create, affordable housing. We could do those things. We could limit their challenges. But you already started off on a good note. These are great questions, and it shows you as young adults that you already have kind of an eye on what the challenges are, and those are real. So that's a great question.
So
great
Emma,
point.
This is a great segue into your question. You have a question about joining the workforce.
Yeah.
And you've been just talking about the teacher workforce, but you have a more general question.
So I feel like in our school, college may not necessarily be for everyone, but in high school, it definitely feels like there's more emphasis on students taking the college route instead of the more vocational routes and encouraging them to look at those opportunities. Mm-hmm. So how can we, like, combat that, I guess?
We already are looking at combating it, to be honest with you. The pendulum swung all the way to where everybody was expecting everybody to do a 4-year university, okay? Well, that's the system that we're set up in now. That's where your Hathaway was based. They're expecting ACT scores. Your Hathaway success curriculum. So it isn't just a Johnson County thing. It's kind of what I think, unfortunately, we went to is we just expected everybody to be on that track. And so education, which is the wheel of education, turned slow. So this just didn't happen yesterday. This has happened 10, 15 years ago. We started this process. Well, now we're realizing maybe the pendulum swung too far.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
So in that, that's why there's a big state meeting on Monday, and we're attending it to start talking about what can we do different because of that question that you have there is what do we really want from our Wyoming high school graduates? Do we want everybody to really be a 4-year university student, and the answer is, if you look at the data, here goes Charles again with the data shows that not everybody wants to go, and the research shows that that's not where we need. We need more more of your certificate programs, more of your two-year college programs, and some of those. So you're starting to see a shift in educational philosophy. Is that a fair word of saying it? Because I'll tell you, most professionals in my job or anybody else will say the exact same thing I'm saying and you're saying. Our focus has been here. We need to move it back. But now we got to change the mechanism that holds us accountable for what we're doing and how we're doing it.
I have two questions. First of all, is what proportion of students may go to college and then don't complete their four-year degree as intended?
Very high percentage, over 50%.
So that means that you may start on that route, and it may you may decide it's not something for you, and that involves a switch too. The other point, of course, is what is artificial intelligence going to be doing to workforce?
It's going to change not only our workforce, but what we do in education.
Absolutely, fundamentally. And I know that there is a group within Johnson County School District looking at that and is going to be reporting on that. But as students, do you how the workforce is going to change and how that might be, the workplace may be changing and how that's going to change your career choices, your professional choices, and therefore whether you want to go to college or not?
My brother is going to college for AI, so he's working with AI to communicate.
If you can't beat him, join him then.
And so I think there's no way of preventing AI. It's just we're not, unless there's a huge, I don't know, but it's just gonna be around. And so I feel like we need to adapt and maybe not view it as a bad thing, but how can we adapt into a society when AI is included in it.
Today, Congress is sitting and starting to kind of talk about some of those regulations and legislations and so on. I don't think we can expect anything soon on that. And in the meantime, we need to be preparing it. What do you think about how this could influence your choices for how you're going to work?
It definitely scares me because I want to go and be an agricultural lawyer when I'm older, and looking into it, I mean, AI is capable of so much, and if it's able to write up a report or anything, it almost takes out the use of needing for these lawyers to go in and look back at cases and everything. And so it definitely weighs something on your mind if that's the route you actually want to take or not, if that career is not going to be needed in a few years. So it definitely is something that kind of scares me, not going to lie, because I don't know if I want to go in that career path when it doesn't look good for me anymore.
Jeremiah, what about you? I know you've been very involved in computer science and technological things. You may have a different
viewpoint. Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's actually kind of the exact opposite. I'm kind of excited because I've always been really interested in cybersecurity and software development and such. And it definitely has opened up the market, and it's pushed away computer science graduates and software development graduates from just being hands on the keyboard, just writing code into more of a an engineer based kind of field almost, where the people who get jobs and get paid well are the ones that design rather than just write code. And I think there's definitely a value in that. The field that I'm looking into going to specifically has definitely opened up and will increase as a result of artificial intelligence.
And I think AI is a tool that can be used in multiple different ways. It is definitely an effective tool that you can use to help students learn, I think, too. But it's definitely going to change the workforce. If it's for better or worse, it'll change, and it's around to stay. So I think we just have to adapt with it.
I'm going to say we need to embrace it because it is. I absolutely believe that. It's already changed my world. It's going to change the legal world. I know in the legal world I've already had conversations with lawyers about how it's intended to make their jobs easier, though. So instead of having to spend days and hours doing the research is there, and now their focus can be on how they present it and how they do it. It's Google's on steroids, but there's limitations around it. There are some very scary things about it, especially when artificial intelligence can readjust itself according to who you are or whether it's doing some of those things, reality or not. But in a world where we have to start looking at it as, I go back, Everybody thought cell phones were the evilest thing in the world, okay? Now it's become part of our culture. If you look at what education did, is all the rules and regulations that came out about it. However, I do believe there's some negative impacts to cell phones. I'm going to be very transparent. But it's the same course. This is just 10 times, is going to grow 10 times faster, and it's part of our culture. It's part of our nature. It's going to be, so you do need to be aware of what career you're going to. But I wouldn't say scare you away from going into that career, but you've got to be open to how AI is going to change that career and what that job is going to look like down the road. And there is that fear that's going to take away some jobs, but what are those jobs? I mean, that reality is you're not going to change mechanics, you're not going to change those in-person lawyers, you're not going to change some of those things that help with that, but it can be a resource. When you can type up, give me a draft policy or a draft procedure guideline of this, and you lay out the details, and in 15 seconds you have a template that you can go through and adjust to where you need, but you keep your key points in. It makes our worlds more efficient. I think some of the things we see with teachers, why there's burnout, is because their job doesn't end at 4 o'clock. They're grading papers at 8 o'clock, and then they're writing a new lesson, or they're trying to be creative, or they're trying to do some different things to meet the needs of kids. Well, education, instead of having to meet, you know, it could become a tutor that supports kids in a little different way, or it could be a tutor that supports a teacher. Everybody feels a teacher knows everything, and I will say they do know a lot. But in some cases, they are just as human as the rest of us, because they're always wanting to try and find something that is best or what's new and inventive for people. And what a great resource to say, hey, what's the new research based on how you do this? And bam, while you're multitasking, because we all in this room are multitaskers, right? I don't think any one of you here probably just sits down and says, I'm only going to do this. You're probably focusing, trying to talk to your friends, doing your social media stuff, and your processing. We're all multitaskers, which research shows is not a good thing, but that's the way we live, right? AI is going to be a part of that. So we've got to embrace it, because it's here, and we can't stop it, and I can't stop it. So I'm excited about the journey, but there needs to be some parameters put around it.
So a quick question for you. Johnson County School District is looking at the whole subject of AI, yeah. And that's a massive octopus of hundreds of different tentacles, yes, that go into many things. What is the status with that right now, and what are you focusing on?
So we've asked a committee to be put together, and as we start the school year, and it is impacting even the University of Wyoming. Let's come back to your original question. What does Johnson County do? Johnson County has a very strong team of very intelligent people that I've asked Mr. Cox to lead, and we start looking at that and start developing things that I think kind of embrace what AI can bring to schools and understand what that is. But there's a lot of fear, and I have to come, a lot of fear that everybody's going to abuse it. And I disagree with that. Kids are kids. We're all kids. But for the most part, kids are good. All right? They're just going to do some things. They're going to say, hey, this is a great way to do it. But the reality is most everybody's probably going to use it effectively, or in some way their intention is to make their lives a little bit easier, right? We don't go to AI because sometimes we're lazy. It's sometimes because we don't have enough time to do things. So managing what that all looks like is going to look different. But it's a high priority at the University of Wyoming and all universities around the nation, so that's going to trickle down because of the concern of people cheating, not doing their stuff. Well, it's just an approach how we teach it or what we do with it. But it is out there. And I can't control what technology you have at home. I can only control what we give out. But kids have access to a lot more than the school gives access to. Is that a fair statement? Would you guys agree to that?
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you. So students, did Mr. Oski answer your questions, or do you want to press him on anything that you heard?
You can press me. I'm okay.
No, he's done a good job. Okay. Yeah. You get an A, Mr. Oski.
Well, I thank you, and I hope I did answer your questions. I don't want you to come out because I can talk a lot. So let's take this opportunity. If there's something I've missed and you haven't had an opportunity to speak, I'm here to answer questions.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I look forward to the next time. We'll have some questions for you again, and we'll put Mr. Oski in the hot seat and ask him some different things about some different topics that matter to you. So thank you very much.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Making
thank
the time.
You.